Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and happy 4th of July and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks so much for being with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and we have a real treat for you this hour. To begin the hour, Professor Helen Alvarez from the Scalia Law School at George Mason University, also a longtime leader, a Catholic leader in the United States, a leader she first came to my attention when she was a spokeswoman for the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, I think even back when it was called the National Conference of Catholic Bishops on on pro-life issues, and now a professor, but also has started I think Professor Alvarez, you say somewhat accidentally, a movement called Women Speak for Themselves. Dr. Helen Alvarez, thank you so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you.
And so, first of all, you, I suppose, have a bit of a in the American scene today, you are occupy maybe an odd position in that there's a lot of people who don't want to hear from you, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean there's a public image of what women want and what good public policy is for women, and you do not represent that kind of mainstream media view. I hate to use that term, but would you say I'm about on target there?
Yes. It's the great irony is that, you know, empirical, sociological, and personal, anecdotal, qualitative data, all of it confirms the ideas about women that I'm talking about, which are ideas that resonate with the Catholic Church's teachings on women, that it affirms. And yet, at the very same time, even though that is the case, it is largely rejected by, you know, the powers that be, which I like to use as an overarching term that refers to, you know, the most elite media, the most elite entertainment purveyors, increasingly, you know, big corporations, one can discuss the reasons for this, who have glommed on to the idea that freedom is very closely tied to sort of, you know, unlimited sexual expression, not tied to even the idea of kids, that sex has weight because it's procreative,
right.
And not tied any longer to the idea of commitment. It's just sort of this free-form sexual expression right that's being promoted. So the ideas that I promote, which involve, you know, keeping sex, marriage, and kids together for actual demonstrated happiness and freedom, putting family first, making work accommodate to caretaking, not the other way around. This is what women actually again and again survey as wanting, but it is not what is fed back to them by the powers that be.
No, so it's not at all. And as a matter of fact, I wonder how much in your experience with young women that it is internalized, this view that a woman is supposed to be liberated from motherhood and liberated from family.
Yeah, it's complicated. On the one hand, you still have surveys of younger people showing that they really desire a good marriage, and they still, in the majority, desire to be parents. What they're not understanding, and this is really, really basic, and the church has to do a better verbalizing and thinking on this, what they're not really understanding is the link between their freedom and a lifelong investment, commitment to a person, the link between that commitment and the well-being of the children, the welcoming of the children, the children's well-being. And then in an overarching way, the link between that way of life, interdependent, sacrificial, caregiving, gift giving, gift receiving, the link between that and their overall goals, which today are phrased as, you know, freedom, equality, and diversity, diversity and equality, and justice. I believe that Catholic teaching on these and life has no trouble making the case that we promote these contemporary ends. But the resistance to it and the phrasing rather of freedom as freedom from, not freedom for, or happiness as material or sensual or temporary. So the resistance is amazing and huge. And at the moment, you know, has a lot of success. I'm not willing to say it's overarching because I still think people are people and want good things.
Yeah.
But it's a very robust and profound struggle.
And the public kind of image of liberated womanhood, it has many good qualities. I don't think we want to say that, well, for example, the feminist movement, if you go all, you know, starting in the maybe in the late 19th century till today, it has won genuine gains for women. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I think that it would be just counterfactual to try and say that, recognizing women's intelligence to go to university, to be teachers, doctors, nurses, you know, police officers, et cetera, and recognizing what that brings. I think it's ridiculous to say that's not a benefit and a contribution. I think the problem is that these things arose at the same time when children were beginning to be considered a disadvantage to the greater good of earning money and being out in the world and just doing what men did, because that's what men did, and therefore we won't be equal until we do the same thing. And then that, you know, dovetailed with the rise of materialism, individualism, and all together produce a situation where, even though it's really great that women's intelligence and gifts are recognized in all arenas, we failed at prioritizing people before money, before these other things. And so it's quite complicated. And people, it seems that if you say, you know, no, family is first, then you were received with cries of, no, that's the old way. That's the way that kept women in the kitchen. No, it's the choices are not that simple. It's possible to accommodate to the family first without wiping out women's gains. And in fact, women would be happier for it. I'm sure you've seen some of the studies that show that when you ask women, you know, they tried to make a study that could estimate the relationship between a woman's working full-time, part-time, being full-time at home with kids, and the odds of divorce. And they found there was no straight-out relationship, that rather what there was a relationship between divorce proneness and the woman's dissatisfaction with her current situation. And the most prevalent dissatisfaction was, I'm working full-time, but I don't feel like I'm doing justice at home. I wish there was a way for me to work part-time. I wish there was a way for me to be flexible. This job flexibility thing and, you know, leave to take care of family that doesn't sacrifice your finances is huge for women. So that study ends up showing that, yeah, women would like to put their family first. And the resistance to that, to me, the resistance in the family is no different than people's resistance to the idea that living for others is a good way to go in any arena. I think it's the same resistance. But in the family, it's all tied up with this question of, you know, is the home bad for women? Is marriage bad for women? Does the church want to keep women at home? Listen to women. That's why I called the group Women Speak for Themselves, because I wanted them to tell their own powerful stories and get this message across.
Well, and the next segment, I think we'll cover that in depth, Women Speak for Themselves. Mm-hmm. But I want to just finish before this segment with a question about the kind of the internalization of resentment. And that does seem to be where a lot of the kind of modern movements towards liberation, as you said, freedom to, I wouldn't know. How did you say it? You said freedom.
Freedom from versus freedom for.
Right. And that's, so we have to have something that we resent if we're always, you know, getting the exhilaration of freeing ourselves from something. But the, so then I wonder if, it's not a bind again, because I'm concerned just to ask you about young women before we go to the break. The for the woman, is she in a bind in that she's looked at as not enough of a woman if she's not resentful enough? If she says,
"Oh, that's a great way of putting it." I think if you say, "Listen, my situation's pretty good. I don't really feel discriminated against as a woman." You kind of looked at like you're crazy. And a lot of women are better off than they were. This doesn't mean there aren't a lot of people who don't look at women like we're necessarily less rational or we're necessarily less talented in particular areas. So I don't want to throw that away. But a woman who says, "Listen, I'm really kind of happy with my situation as being the, you know, the person who spends the primary time with kids, who flexes my work more to accommodate them," that woman is like deemed to be a victim of false consciousness very often. "Well, you don't even know you're being oppressed. You know, you're oppressed unless your husband either does it all or does 50-50.
Which is another, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I just think that, so it's not that discrimination doesn't exist. It's that women who feel that they're happy to take on extra family cares, et cetera, are considered to be a subject of false consciousness if they're happy.
And I was going to say, isn't that just another way of not actually listening to women? It just becomes not listening to them from the other direction. Helen Alvarez, one of the most important voices in American public life and someone we are so privileged and honored to have as our guest for this special 4th of July segment of Catholic Answers Live, will be with us again when we come back right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Talking about abortion can be scary, but so is anything with which you're unfamiliar. People need to learn how to talk about abortion in ways that inspire confidence in the truth of the pro-life position. We must talk about abortion because we are afraid. Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue, is the new book by apologist Trent Horn that teaches you to face those fears, to engage in sustained and meaningful dialogue with the goal of persuading others. Field-tested on college campuses, Persuasive Pro-Life will help you to change people's hearts and minds and begin to build up a pro-life culture in today's world, one person, one conversation at a time. Order your copy of Persuasive Pro-Life, How to Talk About Our Culture's Toughest Issue today by calling 1-888-291-8000, going to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore in your area. Also available as an ebook.
In what forms does the Word of God come to us? How do we know that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and complete? Why do we need tradition to help us understand Scripture? Doesn't the Bible teach that it alone is sufficient for salvation? In 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, examining the first and most important issue in the Christian faith, the manner in which God has communicated to us the saving truths of the gospel. 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back, and thanks again for being with us on Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, and this is our very special 4th of July edition of Catholic Answers Live. So no live calls today because we're eating hot dogs right now or watching the fireworks or something like that. Our guest this segment, Professor of Law at the Scalia Law School. She's also a consultant for the Pontifical Council for the Laity and an advisor to the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops and just one of the most important and helpful voices in American public life, Helen Alvarez. Thank you again, Professor Alvarez, for being with us today.
Thank you.
And now I want to talk about, among all those accolades for you, you are, and you say, kind of the accidental founder of Women Speak for Themselves. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. Sure. So, you know, the Obama administration came out with the health healthcare laws, what they called the contraception mandate. And it's that loosely because some of those drugs do have abortifacient possibilities. But in any event, the day it came out, the main headline was, you know, women are against this. This is a war on women. And where are the women's voices? And soon all the women's voices were like Nancy Pelosi, Barbara Mikulski, et cetera, all the friends of the mandate and the friends of Planned Parenthood. So I drafted a quick letter that basically said two things. One, women really like religious freedom. You know, in fact, women practice religion more than men. And number two, women do not think that sex without linking it to marriage and kids is the sum of their freedom, the way you're describing it. So I had like 20 friends sign it. And the next thing I know, I woke up the next morning and there were 7,500 signatures in my email. And then it went on and on till it's close to 70,000 now. And so a donor who had been interested in my work on what we call the demand side of abortion, the sex and marriage marketplace that basically leads to non-marital and unintended pregnancies, he said to me, hey, do you want to, you know, you want to do something with these signatures? And so the message of the mandate, you know, contraceptive sex is women's best friend, became sort of a platform for me to help other women communicate why they felt so strongly against the mandate. So we've now become an organization with 5 women here in D.C., and we basically help women communicate how it is that, you know, a marketplace where sex is cheap and marriage is therefore harder to come by and stable marriage even harder, immiserates women and kids. It is not women's friend. And, you know, my job as the professor, if you will, is to put together the data, the research, et cetera. So I write law review articles. I wrote a book called Breaking Through, Women Speak for Catholic Women Speak for Themselves. I have the website, Women Speak for Themselves. And I bring women to Washington and I pay for them to be trained to go back to their local communities and write about these issues. Every day put out information that they can use. I put out fact sheets. I've written Supreme Court briefs on their behalf, articles, et cetera. And basically to empower women to communicate for themselves why a marketplace where sex is cheap, thanks to contraception and abortion, does not empower women. And, you know, I've got women of all political stripes. I've got, you know, a lot of Catholics, but I also have a lot of Protestant and evangelical and Mormon and even some atheist women. The message seems to have caught on, and it's become a way for women to speak against what is very much the narrative of the powers that be.
I had never thought of that kind of almost economic argument about marriage, that when this society of promiscuity really is not an environment where men are going to it's going to be easy to convince men to settle down and be married.
No. And you're going to be even more entertained by the fact that the leading author of the leading paper on this subject as to why contraception and abortion make non-marital pregnancy more common, not less, and marriages later and less stable is actually Janet Yellen, our Fed chairwoman. She and her husband wrote the definitive article on this in the 1996 Quarterly Journal of Economics, but it's been followed up since then by many others who've gotten involved in the subject. Another is the economist Tim Reichert, who wrote the definitive article on this in First Things. I want to say it was like 6 or 7 years ago. It's called Bitter Pill by Tim Reichert. On our website, we discuss these articles. We have fact sheets. We have briefings. We have what to say and how to say it to help women understand this and to communicate it. And I teach them online. We're certainly going to have online courses that women can take. We've been getting a donor to fund bringing them to Washington, where I give them 2 full days of TV, radio, local community, lobbying training, public speaking, writing, and social media. And, you know, everything has to start small. We're 70,000. We've so far personally trained 75 women, but we have tons more women who have, with our help, written editorials, spoken publicly, run for office. You know, we aim for nothing less than to defeat the kind of sexual revolution that immiserates women and get back to what really frees us.
That's right. And that it almost, even listening to you, I get the sense of it, maybe a woman in the year 1900 might have, in order to speak up for herself, say, I want to be in the workplace. I want to, you know, be a doctor or a lawyer or something. And then that was a bit, mm-hmm. there was a little outrageous for the time. It almost seems like a woman today has to say, I want to be I want to be a mother. I want to be part of a family. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a woman religious. That she yeah. has, she now is the outlier who has to kind of, you know, get the gumption up to say
true.
It. Is that,
that the- yes, that version of freedom for a woman is considered unacceptable. I had an encounter, and I won't name the person. She's a private person, but it's someone I've dealt with in a secular business. And she said to me, listen, I get the Catholic thing on abortion, but I do not get how you as a woman can say that contraception or sort of sexual freedom is not free. And I said, hey, do you have 5 minutes? And I rolled out the Janet Yellen. I used all the economists who show that the sexual revolution has impoverished women. If right. you look at the single largest gap between rich and poor nowadays is family structure. That is non-marital birth versus marriage followed by marital birth. And minority and poor women are separating further and further and further away from their sisters on the grounds of non-marital pregnancy and retreat from marriage. And it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, one of the ironies of the correct scenario you just described is that the literature is almost universally in favor of a mode of life that would remember that sex has weight, that it's connected to family, kin, future, all this stuff, versus this sort of free-floating sexual license where it's just temporary pleasure, but it's not actual happiness. It's not actual freedom. And the literature supports that. And yet we're still, as women, subjected to this. I kind of jokingly refer to the people who oppose me on this as the man. I'm kind of borrowing from the 62. So Planned Parenthood
show
is really just the man. Okay? The, you know, the big corporations now shoving, you know, sexual license for women down our throat as freedom. They're just the man.
Isn't that, it's a wonderful
and
bit of jujitsu.
Women for themselves. Yes. Yeah. It's just so true, though.
It is.
You know, yeah. I mean, talk about, you know, false consciousness. Planned Parenthood is exhibits A to Z.
Well, let me ask you this then. As a Catholic woman, I guess I have 2 things I would like to know. One, how did you personally come to this embrace of a different view, and then what do we Catholics have to offer us into a public debate about these things?
Yeah, so I love your question. So the first one is hard. I guess I had the example of, you know what, I had a good mom and a good dad and a good family. I had a mother who was a full-time mom while also just super intelligent and just a great model of, you know, loving her family, taking care of her elderly mom and grandma, taking care of my disabled sister, while also being smart as a whip and not afraid of things. And I had a father who took the strong interest in his daughter and saw that I had intellectual leanings and really guided me on them. And I had a church that was always like my family. The nuns were like fabulous, just totally shepherded me to doing what they saw was God's vocation for me. And siblings, including my disabled sister who has passed away, who were just great models of accomplishment, but always family and people first. Disabled people first, elderly people first, kids first, whoever needed help first. So to me, the idea of being super accomplished, you know, in whatever it is you wanted to do, plus loving your family seemed possible. And certainly advocating for my disabled sister kind of fiercely beginning young was sort of part of my mentality.
Professor Alvari, sorry, I got to ask you to hold on for just a quick second. I didn't realize break was coming up so quickly. We'll go through a quick break, and then we'll just finish this for a few minutes on the other side.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Summer is coming, and with it, teens, young adults, and even adult friends and family will find themselves with a lot of free time on their hands. The good news is that Catholic Answers has something to fill up that free time. Two great graphic novels that combine visual excitement and quirky humor with philosophy and theology. The Truth is Out There and its sequel, The Big Picture, follow two heroes as they travel through time and space, discovering truths about life, God, the Church, and eventually embarking on an exciting adventure along the timeline of salvation history. These books are so appealing, we guarantee if you just leave them sitting around, someone in the household will pick them up and read, and better yet, enjoy and learn from them. The Truth is Out There and The Big Picture are also great catechetical tools for youth ministry, college classrooms, campus outreach, high school programs, RCIA, and parish family programs, and more. The Truth is Out There and The Big Picture are available individually or packaged together at a very special price. Get yours today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or visiting a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Looking for the best and solid Catholic resources that can answer your questions on all things Catholic? Looking for books, audio, and DVDs by the top Catholic thinkers and speakers on the planet today? Stop in today and visit the shop at Catholic.com. All of our resources are time-tested, apologist-vetted, and trustworthy and faithful to the teachings of the Catholic Church. There's no better source for solid Catholic resources anywhere on the Internet. When you're shopping for good Catholic books, CD, DVDs, and more, turn to someone you can trust. Visit the shop at Catholic.com today. That's shop.catholic.com.
Father Larry Richards.
You know, I'm from the city of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and both of my parents, both of them, were police officers. My father was a police officer, and my mother was a police officer. They always thought I'd be a cop, too, and in some ways I am, a spiritual cop. But we keep doing what we do, and we come from wherever we come from, it doesn't matter. Where God is calling us is what's most important.
Open Line with Father Larry Richards, Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, 4th of July special edition, and it's so special I can't keep track of the clock. I'm just having a great time talking with Professor Helen Alvarez of the Scalia Law School, an advisor to the Vatican, an advisor to the U.S. bishops, and the founder of Women Speak for Themselves. Professor Alvarez, when we went to the break, you were telling us about how you had it was actually really impressive to me that your upbringing had made you open to a different view of personhood and womanhood than is being pushed in the society. And you were saying about the sisters. You mentioned your mother and your father and your family and all that, but you were saying about the sisters, and I was struck because I had a really positive experience of sisters as a child in school, and I feel like it carried through my whole life. And I wonder if having a positive, because sometimes you hear the jokes about, I had the nuns and they were so mean, and I didn't have that experience. I almost wonder if someone could do a study, is that a predictor of whether you will really, you know, find your way to the Catholic Church, whether the nuns that you knew were helpful or not?
Right. Oh, no. The nuns were, you know, We joke at my high school that the nuns were, after being holy, the next question was, doctor or lawyer? Okay, get in line.
Wow.
You know, because my friends are all one or the other somehow. They were very much about being accomplished. First about being, you know, a fiercely good Catholic, but second about making sure that you did what you were capable of. I just found them really empowering. In fact, I stay in touch with some of them, you know, to this day.
It really gives you a sense that the wider Catholic community is needed to help the family to, you know, so that I hope anybody who's a Catholic educator listening will take heart in that, that it's really important
right.
what goes on in Catholic schools and whether or not we're mm-hmm. encouraging young men and women to possess the faith for their own. So the second part of that question, though, and I'm sorry that I didn't leave you enough time to answer it, was what does the Catholic community in America have to offer now into this conversation about the role of women in the world, what's available to women, and also relations between men and women?
Right. We have to realize this is a profound point. You know, the church talks a lot about it, not just because they're answering the culture's obsession with sex and gender nowadays, but also because we're a religion who actually believes that image of God has something to do with there being male and female and with the special, unique status of the union between them. So, you know, Pope Francis said, it's no wonder we're losing marriage, we're losing religion. And it's no wonder we're losing religion, we're losing marriage. So, I mean, that's St. Paul point, that you marriage is a privileged glimpse of the way we're supposed to love and the way God loves us. So losing male, female marriage is huge. And so that's part of the reason why we just keep coming back to it as a point that we have to make. The fact that the world and the church are so far apart on this, we need to encourage our younger people and say, listen, the church is far apart from the world on a ton of stuff. Don't fool yourself that the world is agreeing with us on how radical we are in terms of the necessities of Christ's love. You know, living without making materialism our God. Welcoming the orphan, the stranger, the widow, the refugee, the migrant, etc. These are radical positions. And just because there's Coca-Cola ads with people holding hands and singing along doesn't mean they're actually living it. And the radicalness of our teaching of marriage is simply a piece of this. It's nothing different from our general radical nature as people of Christ. I mean, there's a reason why he stands alone after 2,000 years of history. It was absolutely unique. So first comfort them with that and say, no, all that other stuff you love about Catholicism, this is why you should love our teachings on sex, marriage, and parenting too. We're for radical love, radical commitment, radical otherness. And then I think we really have to back that up and show them that, listen, don't worry, science is in agreement with us. Our God is the God of all science and all reason. And you could see, if you actually look into this and open your mind, that the data on how people want to live and how they live truly happily, truly freely, truly in a, you know, diversity alongside equality a world is to live the Catholic teaching on sex, marriage, and family. Don't worry. You're perfectly reasonable.
Oh, it's so inspiring. Thank you so much for all you have done to promote, share, and find creative ways to get that message to people. It really is a life-saving message. It really it saves us from kind of splashing around in meaningless for so long.
Yes, and so if it hangs out there, like, you know, like a sign hanging outside of an inn, it's just sitting there for target practice. If you incorporate it into everything else the church teaches about the radical nature of Christian love, then it's part of the fabric and it works better.
And people can find you or become connected to you and your work if they go to womenspeakforthemselves.com. Anywhere else you'd like to send people?
That's correct. And if you hit the Facebook page and you hit like on it, we will. And if you actually sign the letter at the Women Speak for Themselves, then I end up sending you things like fact sheets and notices about what's happening at the Supreme Court and things you can do about it and how you can talk about it locally. So I do urge them to sign up at womenspeakforthemselves.com.
Womenspeakforthemselves.com. Helen Alvarez, professor of law at Scalia Law School, has been our guest. We're very grateful. And thank you for being out there proposing a different view of what it is to be a human being, a full view of what it is for being to be a human being for so many years, defending and vindicating that view in the public sphere. And thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thanks so much for having me.
Coming up, a special treat for the 4th of July. One of the biggest fans that you will ever find of Fulton Sheen will be here to talk with us about Fulton Sheen, patriotism, and the Catholic Church right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
We're glad you're with us. Stick around for more Catholic Answers Live.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. In a series of short, easy-to-read chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe in anything at all and answering all the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Better yet, it's only $3 a copy when you order in bulk. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 8:23, the disciples were out at sea as Jesus slept peacefully, when a violent storm erupted and the boat began to take in water. The terrified disciples woke him, and he calmed the sea. We might reflect on the erupting storms that daily break on our bow, the bow of our troubled world, and on how many times we have been worried and frightened. And how many times have we prayed, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." Do you think that the Lord is any farther from us than he was from them on that storm-tossed boat? Not at all, nor is he any less aware of our plight than he was of theirs. "Why are you so terrified, you of little faith?" he said to them, and to us as well. With them, our ultimate safety lies in him alone. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
We're not taking live calls. However, we invite you to stay with us and enjoy the broadcast. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live special 4th of July edition. We finished the show today with a very special treat for you. I am joined for this segment by Terry Barber of the Terry and Jesse Show on Immaculate Heart Radio, and the author of, well, he's done so many things. He's a founder and author, but he's the author most recently of How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, a practical manual for Catholic evangelization that many people, including the Archbishop of Los Angeles, have lauded as one of the best evangelization books out there. Terry Barber, thanks so much for joining us on Catholic Answers Live.
So it's my pleasure to be with you. You guys are doing great work. Keep it up.
And you have kind of a low-key show there, you and Jesse. For those who have not heard the Terry and Jesse Show, low-key is probably the last word for it, huh? You guys are fired up every day.
Absolutely. We want to help people get to heaven.
And probably the phrase I hear the most on there, maybe other than having a PhD in common sense, is full sheen ahead. And
that's right.
You are probably – well, you Fulton Sheen is very, very precious in your life.
Absolutely. I started almost 40 years ago promoting his records, Life is Worth Living. Immaculate Heart Radio plays them on radio, EWTN plays them, and I had the honor to be at Fulton Sheen's funeral back in 1979, and he is my mentor. And today we're going to talk on patriotism, and I'm going to quote him. I can't go anywhere without quoting Fulton Sheen.
And speaking of patriotism, one of the things that kind of marked the life of Fulton Sheen is he understood very early and never wavered in understanding the worldwide communist movement as a great evil.
That's true. Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, in 1957, he got an award from the country America, patriotic because of his work to help fight communism. And the American Legion gave him an award for that in 1957. So you're absolutely right. He's an amazing man. And, you know, Cy, talking about patriotism and Fulton Sheen, but I think there's another quote, and I'll just give you one quote from Fulton Sheen. He kind of says it ultimately. He says in his book called quotable Sheen, he says, about soldiers, he says, who does the most to preserve patriotism in a nation? Is it not the politicians who talk about duties? Is it not the dramatist who glorifies its past? The ideals of patriotism in a nation are best preserved by soldiers on the battlefield who are prepared to die. I want to thank at this time all of our men and women who are in the armed services protecting us from harm's way. But Bishop Sheen had a quote on patriotism, and then, sorry, I don't mean to be bold, but I have one right in my studio. It says, freedom prospers when religion is vibrant and the rule of law under God is acknowledged. And that was Ronald Reagan, March 8, 1983. So when we talk about patriotism as Catholics, I just say the best thing we can do for being a patriotic Catholic is to live out the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, and I think that's the best thing we can do to be patriotic in our country.
And Sheen himself, he was, well, just in case, I'm sure we have young listeners who don't know who Fulton Sheen was. He was the head of the Office for the Missions here in the United States,
or the Propagation of the Faith.
Propagation of the Faith. And he was a bishop, but he's most famous because he was a television host, and he hosted these television programs that were I think it's almost impossible to fathom now, among the most popular weekly shows in the United States at the time.
You're absolutely right. He was getting 12,000 to 15,000 letters a day from Catholics and non-Catholics. His television show won an award called Emmy Award. It's hard to believe, but that was in the 1950s. And you can still Google Fulton Sheen and find a lot of material on the Internet. Because, you should probably know, our listeners, that his cause is up for canonization. And the joke about it is the miracles have been approved. But on a side note, we're fighting over the body. The humanity of church is alive and well. And once they resolve that, I think Fulton Sheen will be beatified. Because from what Father Apostoli tells me, who's the procurator for the cause, that's the only thing that's in its way. So please, God, with all of our prayers here on the Catholic Answers listeners, we continue to pray for God's will regarding Fulton Sheen's cause.
Well, let me ask you, Terry, when you look at the world today the kind of it's like a crisis in our civilization, a crisis of meaning, a crisis of truth, a crisis of in so many ways, crisis of the family. Do you think Fulton Sheen would be shocked, or do you think he saw that this might be a possibility for where the country was going?
Yes. In August of 1972, I just quoted it on our show today because we talked about the crisis. Fulton Sheen said that the laity are going to have to stand up and save the church. What? Not the priests, the bishops, and all of them. Yes, they're important. But Bishop Sheen was prophetic in saying it's the age of the laity to go out and share the good news. So we're living in times that people, we say that acts like God doesn't exist. So we need to be that light today in the world to evangelize them. And the best way we can do it is fulfilling our duties in our state in life as fathers, moms, and living out our faith and sharing that good news. The thought about what the Catholic Church has done in America by its service, by helping people in need, the homeless. I mean, we see that as such a great thing that the church has done in a sense. Why do we do it? Because we want to treat people the way we would want to be treated, because our Savior teaches us that.
Do you get any sense that, if Fulton Sheen were to speak today, say he had a television show today, the reaction would be different to him, don't you think?
Oh, it would be definitely different. Here's what I would say. Fulton Sheen's comments regarding today and from before, I would say that people would look at him and go, who in the world is this guy? He's such a clear thinker. I mean, it's shocking on what he has to say regarding, for example, the whole concept of pluralism, the whole concept of being understanding on other people's truths. In other words, Fulton Sheen was such a clear thinker. People would look at him and say, well, it's obvious what he's saying is true, but who is this guy? They would be shocked because of his clear thinking, because we're not used to having that clear of thinking right now, because too many people are thinking without God. That's my take. He thinks with God. That's what makes him such a powerful thinker.
Well, what do you think he would say about pluralism today? What was his message? Because that's part of the American experience, is to live in a society where people believe all kinds of different things, and we're supposed to respect one another and be citizens together.
Absolutely.
How did he understand a Catholic's role in a pluralistic society?
Well, I would say this, that he would say right is wrong when everybody is wrong. It's still right. In other words, we're not voting as a Democratic Party or Republican Party. We're voting because something is true. And so if he would say, kind of like what St. John Paul II said back in 1995 in October, is saying yes to God is the fact that we have a right and we have a duty to embrace the truth. And so that's the difference between today's culture and what Fulton Sheen and St. John Paul have been teaching about truth. It's not a popularity contest. And so objective truth today is like young people will say, what is objective truth? You mean like gravity? If you jump off the building and up the seventh floor, you'll know that gravity really is for real. And when you hit the bottom, yes. But many people today don't realize that objective truth is true. And I'll just give you the right quote from October of St. John Paul II. He says, freedom consists not in doing what we like, but in having the right to do what we ought. That was October of 1995 by St. John Paul. But Bishop Sheen, yes, he would make it very clear today that, you know, this idea of tolerance, he says, there's no other subject to which the average mind today is so much confused as the subject of tolerance and intolerance. Listen to what Sheen said. Tolerance applies only to persons, but never to principles. What a great distinction. Intolerance applies only to principles, but never to persons. He said that in 1931.
Wow.
What? Is this microphone on?
Wow, Terry.
I mean, that's powerful.
That is for today. That is a sentiment for today. That's amazing that he saw that in 1931.
Go ahead. But he also says moral principles do not depend on a majority vote. Wrong is wrong, even if everybody is wrong. Right is right, even if nobody is right. You know when he said that? 1953.
Wow. So I wonder, when you think about his life, he died when? When did Fulton Sheen die?
December 9th, 1979.
So he went through all the cultural upheaval of the 60s and 70s. Did he have a response to that? Did he ever speak to, say, you know, the counterculture kids, the hippies, that kind of thing?
I'll give you one time at UCLA, 1974. He was at UCLA giving a lecture, and there were a bunch of, you know, the hippie time, 1974. And he was talking about Jonah and the whale. And he's teaching them about the Bible, and at the end of the session, a student raises his hand and says, Fulton Sheen, excuse me, can I ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? How in the world can Jonah spend 3 days in the belly of a fish? And Fulton Sheen looks back at the young man and says, well, I'll tell you, when I get to heaven, I'll ask him how he did it. And the young man says, and what happens if he's not there? And Bishop Sheen says, then you ask him. In other words, he would joke with these people, right?
Yes.
Because he knew how to reach people, even when people weren't on the same page. So I think Fulton Sheen would have been great. And I really believe that when his cause is, when he gets to be canonized, America is going to be greater because of that, because his material is going to get out. And just what I said about tolerance, I have this in my studio. I'm in my studio right now. And I tell people this all the time about full Sheen ahead. Here's what Bishop Sheen has to say. You know, if one loves, everything is easy. If one doesn't, everything is hard. If one doesn't love, everything is hard. So, I mean, Fulton Sheen has a lot to say about patriotism. And I just believe this, Cy, that, you know, what Catholic Answers is doing and all these good lay organizations, I believe the good that's come from Catholic Answers and from Immaculate Heart Radio, EWTN, all these great organizations that are out there, Lighthouse Catholic Media, the Augustine Institute, we're all doing one thing. We're sharing the good news with a world that's desperately in need of understanding the meaning and purpose of life.
Amen to that. Amen, Terry.
Yep, that's it.
Well, What about the Catholic person who maybe says, and maybe with every good intention, you know, the church should get off of some of these things, like the, you know, it's all always standing in the way of the sexual revolution, and it you know, it's opposing contraception, and it does these things that, you know, to the world look old fashioned or something. How would Fulton Sheen say the church should be in the world?
Yeah, I think Bishop Sheen would say this, that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so he would not preach to somebody the truths of the faith until he reaches out to them and befriends them. And that's what my book, How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, is all about. So especially when I run into Catholics and Christians that might not share the moral teachings of the church, I always befriend them first and then show the beauty of our faith second. And I'll just give an example. A Protestant man just called me an hour ago, and he listens to us on the radio, and he says, I want to be a Catholic because of you guys. I said, well, praise God. Any good we do comes from God, and we thank him for it. He said, the reason I want to become a Catholic is, he said, you guys have passion, and you make sense. And the things that you're saying, I look up, and you're right, and this and that. And he says to me that when you gave out your cell number on the radio, I realized you were authentic. And I do this because I talk to people after every radio broadcast, and they know that they can ask me a question, and I'm available to them. But my point is, you've got to be authentic. That's what Fulton Sheen would say. Be authentic. Don't talk exceeds the demand. You need to be able to show people that you love them, and then you share the faith.
Was he a very... let's say, sacramental Catholic, would he have said that the sacraments were important in this, or would he have downplayed that?
Oh, no. Fulton Sheen would have said, the life of God is in us. That's grace, sanctifying grace. He made the daily holy hour for 60 years. I'd make a holy hour because of Fulton Sheen every day. He's got the Life is Worth Living series that I make available to people. If they want it, they can call me at 877-526-2151 when I have all of the Fulton Sheen material, if anybody's interested, because Bishop Sheen teaches the people the meaning and purpose of life. And, you know, even on prayer, you'll like this one, Si. He says, some people look on prayer like an aviator looks on a parachute. He hopes he doesn't have to use it. You get your laugh. But you see, what did he teach you about prayer?
Right.
It's important. And you see, that's what Fulton Sheen does. Even among non-Catholics, he'll make you laugh. But then he'll teach you some profound teaching, and you go, wow. Because he was a master. If we have a minute, I'll just give you one story of a story from his Treasure and Clay book. Anybody wants to get his autobiography? Here's what's happening. He's going down doing census work, knocking on doors. So he knocks on an elderly woman's door, and she says, yes, I'm a Catholic, but my son-in-law won't let me go to church because he's anti-Catholic. So Fulton Sheen, as a young priest, says, well, let me come back and talk to your son-in-law. Oh, no, you don't want to do that. He hates Catholics, especially priests. That's all right. So the guy comes home. Bishop Sheen's, you know, Father Sheen's in the house. The guy's a mechanic, and he picks up a wrench, and he throws it at Fulton Sheen and says, get out of here, priest. You know what? You're not welcome in my house. And Fulton Sheen says, okay, no problem. But before I leave, can I just ask you a question? Yeah, what is it? Well, I noticed you're a mechanic. If I had a Studebaker that made this kind of noise, what do you think the problem would be? Well, after a few more questions, Fulton Sheen's in a conversation about mechanics, which this guy's a mechanic, and the mechanic says, you know, you're not that bad of a guy. Why don't you stay for dinner? So they stay for dinner, and he ends up bringing this guy into the Catholic faith because he befriended him. He talked his language. And then at the baptism, the man says, Fulton Sheen, Father Sheen, I've never seen your Studebaker there. Originally, that's how we've met. And he told me about your problem with your car. And Father Sheen says, I didn't say I owned the car. I just said, if a car said this, had this, you know, problem, what would be the solution? You see what he did?
Yes.
He befriended him. He spoke his language. And that's the example that Fulton Sheen gives to me and to you and to our listeners, to have relationships with people before we share the faith.
Terry Barber of The Terry and Jesse Show, author of How to Share Your Faith with Anyone, a practical manual for Catholic evangelization. I am so personally grateful to you for taking this time to talk about Fulton Sheen with us.
Oh, I love to do it. And so I keep up the good work. Catholic Answers, I've been working with Carl since 1985. I gave them my mailing list when they first started because I was so impressed with Catholic Answers, and I still am. I send people to your website daily. So keep up the good work, guys.
Thank you so much, Terry, for those kind words. Happy 4th of July to you.
Thank you, and the same to you, my friend. God love you.
We'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.